everybody. So we actually did this interview with Jesse back in September. And when we were still thinking Country at Heart was going to play, that's why so much of the interview is talking about Country at Heart. But we did also talk about Road to Christmas quite a bit. And since it re-airs tonight on the Hallmark Channel, I thought it was worth giving you guys this interview because Jesse is so great. And I thought you'd be interested to hear what she had to say. So here's the interview with Jesse. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're so excited today. We have another one of our Hallstar interviews. This is our second time that Jesse Schramm has been on the podcast. And thank you so much, Jesse, for coming and talking with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Yes. So we haven't talked to you since last November, I think it was, before your Christmas movie. And so
yeah,
if you could say, how has your year been?
You know what? The year has been pretty good. There's a lot that's happened. There's a lot I'm still waiting to happen. No, it's been pretty good since last November, I'd say.
That's good.
Always eventful. I'm like, yeah. Where do I even begin? There's so much to catch up on.
Did you have a fun summer?
Yeah, you know what? The summer was great. Half of the summer was spent filming, which is always super fun. Yeah. But, you know, I feel like I started the first half of the summer completely feeling like, you know, back when you were a kid and it actually felt like summer because your schedule was clear. So I totally went into like, you know, totally went into relaxation mode, and then it was quite the opposite, but even more fun than relaxation. So
yeah, I was talking about that with a friend of mine yesterday that kids, they have it so good. Like, seriously.
I know.
They get all their meals.
And they don't even know.
Made for them. They get driven everywhere. they get the whole
exactly.
I mean, come on.
They get to take naps when they come home from school. Right. Like, and then somebody wakes them up and feeds them.
Yeah. Like, people are literally mad at them when they don't take naps. How great would that be?
I know. It's a thing. I mean, I was taking naps in high school too, so I don't know if that was too old, but your body's growing, right? So you have all this, like, you have all this understanding that, like, you know, oh, school must be hard, but nobody is like, oh, work must be hard. You deserve a nap. Let me wake you up with like a snack.
Right.
Nobody does. Well, nobody does that for me at least. Maybe sometimes. Yeah. But
you get a great nap as an adult. It's like,
wow.
It's like Christmas. I mean, it's the best day of your life.
It changes everything. I actually, talking about work, like, because we'll have really long days and, you know, whenever lunch comes around, you have a whole nother half of the day. So if you're working every day during that time, like, you get a half an hour, and I always nap. Like, all the other actors are like, bye, Jesse, we'll see you later. And they know that I just like go pass out in my trailer. Yeah. And then I come back, and when I don't get it, the rest of the day isn't fun for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, honestly, it's not bad, but it's not good for me.
Yeah, but that's the way to do it, though. They say you never want to take too long a nap. They, like,
right.
20 minutes to 30, like, that length is, like, perfect.
Yes, anything more is disorienting.
Yeah, it'll make you groggy and kind of, you won't be able to sleep as well at night, but, like, a 20-minute power nap is perfect. That's the dream.
That's my coffee, because I don't drink coffee, so I use naps as my coffee. I mean, it doesn't lift me up as much, but it, like, at least gives me some energy.
Well, that's good. Did you get to take any trips or do anything fun, or were you just working all summer?
Oh, you know what? I feel like I'm always taking random little adventure trips, but recently I'm super excited, because on my bucket list, or my to-do list since moving to California, has always been learn to surf.
Oh.
And, you know, I've like gone maybe here or there. I'm scared of water. I'm not the best swimmer, but I'm super stoked about the things that I'm scared of.
Yeah.
So recently we've been surfing, like, almost, you know, I say surfing, attempting to surf every weekend. Yeah. I'm in the water. I've got the board. I've got my wetsuit on. And so I've been surfing, which has been like the super fun thing of this summer.
You should tell Hallmark. That way you can be ready to go for a summer nights
movie, right?
Yeah, summer nights
Yeah,
movie.
We,
I mean, it's perfect. Yes. You can like get to meet some cute surf instructor and help you get over your fear of water and boom, perfect.
Exactly. He teaches me like, yeah, you follow your intuition with the wave. Like, you know, there's so many lessons you can learn from surf.
I mean, that's how you end up with Yes. See, this is how you end up with a paid trip to Bali or Fiji or something like that.
I know. Well, I always see them like they're going to Bali and they're going to Ireland and like the safaris. And by the way, I'm not complaining. I'm just like, oh my gosh, yay, I get to do one. And I'm like, where are we going? And they're like, Sudbury, Ontario.
Yeah.
And Sudbury, like, every place you go can be great, but like when it's compared to some of the locations, you're like, okay, guys.
Right.
No, but it's not complaining, just saying, you know, I've never been to Bali, so that would be kind of nice.
Well, there is nothing that I love more than the ocean. I don't know why I live in Utah sometimes because there's no ocean, but I love
Utah. Utah's beautiful.
It is beautiful, but no ocean, and I love the ocean.
Yeah.
And one time when I was in Hawaii, this was years ago, I got to take surfing lessons, and it's a sport because like a lot of sports, like you have to be relatively competent in it to have fun. The learning curve
right.
is not fun. And then it's fun. But surfing, you can just be like riding the wave on your belly, super fun.
It's like I've almost liked boogie boarding more because I don't need to stand up, so I don't need to work as hard.
Yeah.
Like I will say, yeah, but you have to love the water, because I will say some people will go against you on that, because the first thing you learn about like trying to surf is it's not even you don't even think about getting on the board. You need to think about getting out to where the waves are first.
Yeah, that's true.
And the process of that is the thing that weeds out the ones that really want to be in the water or not. Because you can spend like 20 minutes trying to get over. Well, 20 is a little excessive, but I spend 20 minutes.
It is
trying to get out.
You really do.
Yes, and you learn, never put your board sideways. So anybody listening to this, never put your board sideways when you're trying to get out to the wave. Rule number one.
Yeah,
because it just smacks right back at you.
Yeah, I love being in the water, so that's not a challenge for me. There's nothing I love more than I'm actually an open water swimmer, and I've done this year.
Wow.
I finished my 13th open water mile swim, and
oh my gosh, congratulations!
Thank you.
That's amazing,
and I love it. It's just I love just being out in nature and. And I have a lot of problem with I kind of walk flat footed, so I get a lot of feet pain.
Okay.
So something like hiking is not fun for me, and so that's why I've always loved being in the water. And I would just always pick open water over pool any day.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So. I feel like I would have a hard time. Like if you took me on a boat in the middle of like, you know, an ocean or something. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, you get to jump off, have so much fun. Like that to me would not, well, who knows? I haven't done it, but like that to me doesn't feel so fun, but like being able to touch the sand and have it close by is super fun.
Yeah. It just takes some getting used to, some practice, but I don't know.
That's a good point.
I love it. And I hadn't done it the year before. I hadn't done a race and I really regretted it. So this year I was like, I don't know. I've been so busy with the podcast. I've hardly had any time to train, but like, who cares? I'm just going to go do it. And I was
it's really so slow, worth it,
but it was really fun.
But that's the thing too, is like, I guess, are you in it to win it? Or are you in it to win it through your, like, that's so corny, through your spirit. Like,
Corny.
But it's true. Do you just want to do it and be involved? Or, like, you really gunning for that medal?
Right. Yeah. It's fun to, it's the weirdest thing about being in the water. It's a total tangent, but the weirdest thing about being in an open water swim is that you feel like you're on like this swim treadmill and you're just not making any progress. It's weird.
Because of the currents and things, right?
Yeah. And you can get so close up and you just feel like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get there. And so there's something about that. I always feel like when I do it, I learn about myself and I learn about life. Cause it's like, you just got going and going. And then when you kind of finally hit that buoy, and you finished, it's like, yes,
Woohoo! Yes. You learn, because so many thoughts go through your mind and so many different, you know, you have so many different choices on how to go about it, and you learn about yourself.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's amazing though. That's really cool that you do that.
Thanks. So, well, let's talk about, let's go all the way back to last Christmas.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know that Road to Christmas was my favorite Christmas movie, A Countdown to Christmas of the year.
Really?
If you listen to my top 10, it was my favorite. And I think it made all three of ours that were on that episode, all three of ours list somewhere, but it was my favorite. So.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I feel so proud.
Yes. And we've gotten to interview Cardi Wong, who we adore.
He's amazing.
And we got to interview Rebecca Staub, who's the best.
Oh yes,
love her. Mm-hmm. It was one of my favorites. She was such a good storyteller. Oh my gosh,
she's so much fun.
Yeah,
so much fun.
She was great. And we interviewed the writer Zach Hugg, and we've been all over Road to Christmas.
There.
It's very exciting. And
I love that.
Yeah. And so I wanted to ask you about some parts of it. So
do it.
We really enjoyed it. We thought it was so sweet, and I really liked the relationship between the three brothers, and I just liked that it was kind of a flawed family for Hallmark. Because sometimes I can feel like, because my family were very, very close, but we're all really different. And so sometimes I don't connect with this like perfect version of family that they show sometimes on these. And so this was very refreshing to me of just this family that was flawed and that was working on it.
Right, because it is that thing of like, we all have our reasons, and it doesn't even need to be a bad thing, but like, we all don't always want to go home for Christmas. You're not always in the mood, or, you know, you always love when you do and good things come out of it. But it's like, there was that element of, we don't normally spend it together, and this is why. And the protection that they had for each other, and the different wounds that they had, and the reasons why.
Yeah.
You know, and really all it took was like better communication and some egging on.
Yeah.
And like proving that it could be a great new experience.
Like I liked little details, like the fact that Chad Michael Murray's character would send food to the other brother.
Right, that was really cute. Yeah.
Really good. And so I really enjoyed that. And there are a couple of things though that were funny. Like, so when you arrive at your family's house.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you wake up in the car and then go in. I was like, why did you go in the house and sleep?
See, here's the thing, because you only see, that's a really good point. We had questions about it as well. No, but that's something like the logic behind that is, you know, they've been traveling all night, and I'm not a good sleeper in any kind of transition area. I think I'm just always like, what's going on? But Maggie apparently can sleep on planes and trains and, you know, cars.
Right.
So they did it as, you know, like they were driving. He took the night shift or whatever shift that was of driving.
Yeah.
And then when they arrived, that's where she woke up. She was taking a nap. Maggie was napping.
Because it seemed like
Maggie was taking an adult nap
in the car, and then woke up, and then I was like, oh, we're here. I was like, why didn't you go inside?
I know.
But
and she's not a light sleeper. She sleeps through people opening car doors and closing them. But but you know, it wasn't clearly. They weren't waiting too long for her. So
that's good. I'd like to take a second from our interview with Jesse to give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, the very good folks at Care Of. Right now you can get 25% off your first order at takecareof.com with code Hallmarkies. And I've really been pleased with what I've received from Care Of. I've now made two different boxes. They come, everything's personalized. Everything, the little packets have quotes on, there has your name. You take a quiz, and so it helps to identify what vitamins and other products that you need, whether it's products to help.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Sleep or products to help you in your exercise or whatever it is that you need in your life. And it's easy, it's convenient, and it just helps you live a healthier life. So definitely go check out Care Of at takecareof.com. Enter code Hallmarkies, 25% off your first order. You'll love it.
Well, so it's interesting. Yeah, they weren't waiting too long for Maggie to wake up.
Yeah, because it's interesting because, I mean, this is one of the rare Hallmark movies where people are like fine working on Christmas. Like usually that's, whoa.
Right, that's a no-no.
Yeah. And
right.
So it's kind of interesting because she's helping Tara Rothery's character to have this reunion with her family and everything. And yet, seems like, I don't know if things are 100% peachy with Maggie and her family, because she's been missing all of these Christmases and they're all like, you never call, kind of a thing. And so I wonder, yeah, that's kind of an interesting dynamic that she's sort of helping, but how close is she to her family?
Well, we did talk about that, you know, like in, yeah. Or at least my mind talked about it with myself in the process of this, of, you know, I'm like, who did I talk to about this? But, you know, that was a conversation of why would she go with someone else if she's really close to her family? And then kind of the reasoning with that is they are so supportive and they understand that this is for a time period. Mm-hmm. And like, she is like really close with, you know, Terrell's character, her boss. And I think that that is because her character takes everybody on so much as a family. So it is almost like an aunt or a second family, even though she is the boss. So her family was disappointed that she hasn't come home. And it's kind of like, I don't think that, you know, there's that choice. Like you said, it's, you know, people would see that as like the messed up priority, but it was kind of that element of, you know, we had talked to the family about it and they understood. And of course they want me home, but they're also going to support what makes me most happy. Yeah. Kind of.
It's pretty nuanced for a Hallmark movie. And I think that's why
it is.
Why I liked it so much is I felt like it was just easy to relate to. And I liked each of the brothers, you know, there was like an effortless diversity to it, which was nice. And I mean,
they had really great connections, like the relationship between the brothers and how we played that. Like, I loved that the movie, it's like, I'm such a freak for rom-coms. I absolutely love them.
Yeah.
And this, you know, still is in the romance category, but I felt it was really fun and it added something special to have those other characters and relationships playing throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we had Cardi in the car for half of our road trip. Like,
yeah.
It added like another element, so it felt rounded in a different way other than just these are these two characters and how they are with each other. It felt a little bit more like they were in the world or the world was brought to them and you kind of got to see their dynamic.
Yeah. Were those puppies and those kittens the cutest thing you've ever seen?
Oh my gosh. They were so cute. And they told us because they were so young, like, nobody gets to touch the kitten. So, of course, like, in the scene, I'm like, I get to touch the kitten. I was like, oh, in the scene, can I pet the kitten? They're like, if it's in the scene. So, of course, like, in there, I made that happen. Because they were so cute. They were climbing on top of each other, like, trying to get out of the little basket, falling on each other. It was like, it was a YouTube video, like in person. It was so cute.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the animal handler's like looking at you like a hawk. Sure.
I know. And then we had all the dogs and they all had their own personalities. Like it was really, it was, and they all have their own dog handlers too. So if you have eight dogs, you have eight people with them as well. So it just, wow. I always love when we have animals in scenes because sometimes it can make it tricky with the edit and, you know, are they going to act appropriately, these animals, when animals are there? Because it just, even though it can make people more anxious of if we're going to get the shot, I feel like it, for the most part, calms everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. So I want to talk to you about this white elephant exchange. It's something different up there in Canada or something, but I always think when someone says you're invited to a white elephant party, I always think of it as kind of silly. Like you try to bring a gag gift for white elephants.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
My family plays it too. And we have the rule of you either re-gift something from your house or, you know, you use something under like $5 or $10. So when we had shown up and we were playing white elephant, we're like, oh my gosh, there's an iPad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not playing with my family.
Yeah, there's an iPad and nobody swaps. No one for the iPad.
Yeah, it would have gotten complicated. And I feel like Hallmark didn't want to show, I feel like they avoided showing people, like, you know, taking each other's gifts away from them. Where in real life, it's so much fun because, yeah. You know, usually it's not as valuable as an iPad or like a really nice purse. So it's not as upsetting if someone were to steal it from you. But I feel like they probably didn't want to do the thief element of taking. And we had young children. We had young children in that scene. Could you imagine?
They'd be the most likely to be like,
my niece?
Or like, give me the iPad, Grandma.
I know. Well, the worst part about, like, because that was a really nice white elephant. I was like, ooh, we're fancy. But then it's like, I love that they actually had a white elephant. Because we just have it as like all the gifts are. Most of them are gag gifts, and then there's a few nice ones that, you know, circulate around. It always happens that way. And then I love when his character actually opens it, and I'm like, oh, man, yeah, you get memories, but, like, I wonder what you were hoping for Christmas, because that was not it.
Yeah, whenever I get invited to
a real white elephant.
Whenever I get invited to White Elephant, I can never think of anything good or very funny. I usually end up getting those Harry Potter jelly beans. You know those?
Oh, right. Yeah. That's a great idea. See, when I go, my friend Garrett and Danny always hold a white elephant. And like, we have like this ongoing gift that always comes back and it's become like the piece of our friend group. It has to come back every year.
Right.
But I always think I'm doing like a really clever gift. And then when everybody opens it up, like nobody comments. Like my gift always goes under the radar and I'm like, man, I thought I had a good idea this year.
Well, you can't.
But it's never that anyone steals it. Nobody steals my gift that I bring.
You can't go wrong with the jelly beans. They're like lawn flavored.
Yeah.
And it's just, they're disgusting.
I'm going to get those this year. That's a good idea. Thank you for that.
That's the best I've been able to come up with.
That's a really good idea.
So yeah, we were watching it where we're like, this is cute and all, but everybody's swapping for that iPad. What's going on?
Right. It was a montage scene. We just cut out the part where I took the iPad home with me. No, I didn't.
That's good.
We had to return everything.
Yeah. So, and then that whole little like snow carnival contest thing, that must have been fun.
Oh yeah.
Doing the snowman and then the all the different, you know, little.
I don't know if you could tell from the scenes, was my favorite part. I kind of dropped character and just got really competitive, oddly enough.
Yeah.
And I remember like that, it was a really fun scene to film and also really hard. I remember we were doing a night shoot and both Chad and I needed to get on a plane. Like I was coming to do the TCAs, he was going to do a con somewhere. So it's like, we only had a day off and we were filming all night shoots. So it was up in Whistler at like the Olympic Village and everything, and it was super hot outside. So they imported the snow in there so that we could make everything, and there were mosquitoes everywhere. Oh, so it's like, it was one of those nights where elements going on outside of it, where one was like, are we going to make our flight? Hurry, roll the snowball. But
they get a lot of snow for that scene. I mean, because some of these scenes,
oh my gosh,
they just get like a tiny bit, but that was a lot. I mean, that was a whole hill.
They got a lot. They did. I mean, our crew was awesome. They did such an amazing job. And like, I think on my Instagram, I have like all the behind the scene things I said, like making Christmas. And I'm like one of those things that's just, there's like 20 shots of me just showing like the ice melting at our feet or like, yeah. You know, all the different things where it's like, here's Christmas. Now looking back of me, it's 90 yeah. degrees.
Yeah. Cause,
but that scene, I love when we get to do those. Like I got very competitive and like, it was so much fun to do. And, you know, Chad and Cardi, they're super fun and really funny in the scenes too. So we just had like a really good time, like bringing it to life more than just doing the game, I feel like. So I'm glad you liked
it. Yeah, no, it was really, really a fun scene. And so, yeah, we just really enjoyed the film. And I really liked the way that you guys did the whole sort of closing segment of the movie where you surprise her and then you're filming. And then I thought the way you did the kiss was so romantic.
Oh, and like, really?
Yeah. And she's like just sitting, she's like filming. So she's watching it. You see her eyes kind of go,
yeah.
That's really good.
I know. We're like, we're doing this in front of your mom. It's fine. And my boss.
It was great. And, you know, have
yourself. Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is like my favorite, like secular Christmas song. I mean, I love What Child Is This as far as a religious one, but then I love mm-hmm. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. So that was really cool. And I think that's the first time we heard you sing in Hallmark. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. That was something when we were around the table, like we were doing a table read and our director, Alan, was just like, I think we're going to sing a song here. And, you know, we came up with a few and ultimately picked Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then, and then Cardi and I just like practiced it in the basement of the home that we were filming in and then just went on set and did it. And we had such a good time practicing it. It's always like such a fun challenge, but yeah, that's the first time I've sang in the Hallmark world.
Yeah, it was really good. So way to go that one. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
So, all right. Well, so you have a new movie coming out. We're not sure right now on the day, but
exactly.
Country at Heart.
Yes.
And so why don't you tell us a little bit about what this movie's about?
Awesome. Well, we were just talking about music, and so that was the first time I've sang in the Hallmark world. But in this movie, I play Shayna Judson, who is a struggling singer-songwriter who's really not making it in Nashville. So she heads back to her hometown, Silverado, where her dad holds this music festival every year at their family ranch. Mm-hmm. And through the storyline, we have this world-renowned singer, or not singer, but we'll say songwriter, Grady, who's played by Niall Mader, and who's absolutely amazing in it. And then we have also our like ultimate famous country star played by Lucas Bryant, who's also just ridiculously awesome. So you have like two country guys who are very good looking and very charming, and through the storyline you kind of get to see Shayna discovering all these opportunities now that she's getting that, you know, she wasn't before. So she's developing herself in the music world and these new opportunities coming, and then also ultimately trying to figure out what means most to her and where her heart actually belongs. And of course, along the way, there's love.
Yeah. So you were in Nashville. And so I would assume something like that would help you to kind of be prepared for this kind of role.
Definitely. You know, it made me feel more comfortable. I think when I did Nashville, you know, I was just as excited and everything was brand new in the process of how you go about something like it. And every production's so different on how you prepare. But I think when this came along, I had a little bit more of an idea of, you know, how we were going to shoot the scenes, how to practice before recording. You know, we got flown up a week before filming to record all of the original music that we did for it. So Niall had never sang or played guitar before. So
he was
practicing viciously. Yeah. Lucas, you know, we didn't have him for a few days. So he came up the day before to sing his song. Like everything was very just like sprung on us, but we came out with a really, like, we are so proud of kind of what we accomplished. And mm-hmm. like I said, Niall never having done music before, like he's turned out to be this awesome country artist.
And
we all got to, you know, we had so much fun with the music. We would just be practicing with each other on set, and we all played our instruments and sang our own songs. So it was super fun. And yeah, Nashville did kind of like prepare me on understanding more how the music element in a show goes. And having been in Nashville for filming, like I understood what Shayna Judson was going through.
Right. Yeah. Well, that makes me really excited because I became, not that I was ever not a fan of Niall Mader, but I became a fan last year with Christmas Pen Pals, his movie on Lifetime. That movie was so good. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Watching it this Christmas. It was so good.
Okay.
And Cardi Wong's in that as well.
It was so,
I just loved it. It was so good. And, but anyway, so he can be quite, I'm like, what can the man do at all? Like evidently now he's singing. Like, what's going
on? Yeah, he can. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. If you want him to do something, he will do it, and he will do it amazingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you grow up a big country music fan? Was that something that you...
Yeah, you know, when I was younger, I always tended to go towards folk, and you know, I loved like Jewel and Linda Ronstadt, and so I've always loved, maybe not so much like I'm not even gonna say hardcore country because I absolutely love that now, but you know, like my dad would listen to George Strait, I would listen to Shania Twain, so it's like I was more kind of like the pop country, and as I've grown older, it's still country and folk is my favorite line of what I like to listen to.
Yeah. Well, it's
So it was super fun.
And country music's America's music. I mean, it was
I didn't understand country music until I went to go do a movie called Smile as Big as the Moon. And we were filming in Alabama at Space Camp. And I had to drive from, now I'm forgetting where Space Camp is, but Space Camp to Birmingham. And it wasn't until I was like going through all, you know, like, driving from city to city and all of the leaves were turning and the country music was on. And I was like, oh my gosh, I get country music now.
Yeah. I'm really excited.
I grew up in a city.
Yeah. This weekend, I think it's this weekend or, anyway, it'll be after this airs, but, I don't know if you know, the famed documentary maker, Ken Burns, he's doing a whole series on country music. It's going to be great. So I'm really excited.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll look for that.
Because all of his documentaries are all about America in some fashion or another. They all sort of spin off of American experience. And so I'm really excited to see what he comes up with. But yeah, that's really cool. And I mean, sure, it must be kind of challenging to not only be concerned about your, I mean, obviously you record the songs in a separate location, but still to be kind of concerned about not only acting, but also performing on sort of two levels.
Right. Well, I mean, we did sing and play in a lot of the scenes without the recording. So some of what we do is live in the movie, which is, you know, another element of being terrified. But yeah, I think we all felt, you know, we were all so nervous about getting the music right that we only focused on the music. And then we flew into Sudbury after Toronto and then we started filming. We're like, oh my gosh, we're actually acting now. We all sat there and we're like, we haven't paid any attention to this aspect of the story. We've all just been becoming musicians, basically. So, I mean, but you know, that helped with our character because we are all musicians in this. So it all played into it. It was kind of like acting workshops or whatever. But we all completely forgot that then we needed to act in this because we were just concerned about the music. But it adds another element, and I think that we all kind of fell in love with that because it made it a little even more special than it usually is.
Did you play your own guitar in the film, or is that?
Yes, I do. And on the tracks we have, you know, some other musicians helping us out, but you'll see in the scenes we play our own guitars and stuff. And yeah, so on the tracks, I think we've got some hired help in there,
sure.
But we do play our own. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we do on the day, you know, we learned the strums and exactly how they did it. Cause yeah, you can sing along with the trap, but if you can't play it, like you're going to have to cut around that. And we didn't want to do that. We wanted to make it as authentic as possible.
That's great. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So this is the first Hallmark movie that I can think of, at least, that you have brown hair. Was that?
Yes. Yeah.
Was there a reason that you decided to go brown, or was it just?
You know, I've always wanted to go red, but I heard that the maintenance on that is a lot harder. And I've been, besides one project that I did when I was younger called Life, I had black hair in that. But other than that, I've just been blonde my whole life and the same. Yeah. And recently I was just like, you know, I've always been scared to pull the trigger on changing because, you know, you always wonder like, oh my gosh, well then if I have brown hair, will they want the blonde haired girl? And then finally one day I'm like, let's not be so scared about that. And I chose a color that I could go back to blonde easily if I need to. but yeah, this was more just feeling like I wanted an appearance change and just to kind of also like mentally switch that up and not be so scared of change. So when this had come along, you know, I emailed them immediately and was like, this is what I look like now. Are you okay with it? And yeah, they were super happy about it, but it was really weird, you know, like being on set and seeing pictures come back or getting to see a performance or two that was recorded. And I'm like, who's that on the stage? Like I didn't register it as myself or like, you know, the color, we're in a fall movie. So everything is like browns and reds and oranges. And I'm like, I blend into the background.
Yeah. Let's take a second from our interview with Jesse to talk about our new sponsor, HelloFresh. And right now you can get 9 meals free when you sign up, HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies9. So you definitely want to check out and then you enter code Hallmarkies9 when you go to sign up. And it's really cool. You get a box with 3 different meals, all the items you need to make 3 different meals. You have the meal card that has the recipe, it has pictures, so you kind of know what it's supposed to be looking like all the way through. I tried it a few weeks ago and everything that I tried was delicious and stuff that I wouldn't normally have made just on my own. And so that made it really fun. Make sure you check out HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies9. Enter code Hallmarkies9 to get your free meals and really enjoy a great experience and you save time on shopping and on cooking. So check out HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies9.
It was like a bit of a shock, but yeah, I did it mainly just for myself to see also what, you know, the change of appearance can change inside of a role as well.
That's cool that they, I wasn't sure if they asked you to do it or if you had done it. And so that's cool that they were like,
personal
okay.
Choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Because there is always that thing of like, I mean, there was another role recently where, you know, I was up for it and they're like, oh, well, you have to change right back because that's what, you know, that's what we know you as. That's what we want you as. So Everybody's got their own thing. But I think, and it is hard too because I'm like, oh, I hope fans like it. You know, I hope they're not like, ugh, we don't want to watch her. She looks different now. Which is silly because I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I play all different things. But yeah, so it's just a personal choice that they grasped onto and I hope that they enjoyed.
Oh, I think so. And at least everybody can be glad that it's not a wig because Hallmark, their wig success is not the
greatest. Oh, really?
Not my favorite.
Okay, I haven't seen many wigs. I've seen lots of hair pieces because I've had to use them as well. But I haven't seen many wigs and I'm always scared of wigs. Everybody's like, oh, well, you can just get a wig. I'm like, I don't mess around with that. I do not mess around. Yeah.
Yeah. Recently, I mean, in Aurora Tea Garden, they had her. And I'm like, why did you have her in a wig? She has perfectly.
Really?
It's not like it's a period piece where you need a particular kind of hair. She's just a normal human. Why? I don't know. It looked.
She might have dyed her hair and we just don't know it, you know?
It looks so bad. But that's just my opinion. I mean, other people liked it. But anyway,
right.
So this is going to be
sometimes
fun.
They add more volume. You know, the volume is what you want in a wig.
Yeah. So in this movie, so Niall Mader's like up and coming and the Lucas Bryant character is an older, more established musician.
Well, no, you know what? I'm trying to think of like how much of the storyline I give you in it, but I think it's pretty well mapped out. Niall Mader and Lucas Bryant used to be friends and they wrote songs together and like they started together basically. They were on the rise together and along the way something happened that will be revealed, but something happened that kind of ruins their friendship and professional work life. So in the story, Niall is being called to help Lucas on his, well, I guess I should speak in character terms. Grady is being called to help Duke Sterling, the country star, revamp his album because they really want what they used to do. So they're sitting there and they're being forced to work with each other through the record album, and neither of them is into it. So when Grady comes to town, he hears me sing at a little place called Jenny's Place, and he's impressed by me. And we realize that we work really well together. He's really great with lyrics. I'm really good with the music. Nice. So we start writing a song for Dirk Sterling. And then, you know, that's where it all gets caught up. And there's this light competition between the two because they have their history. And then now as well, you know, there's, I'm going to call myself beautiful, but there's a beautiful girl in the mix. And I would say the handsome boys. I got to give myself a title too. But you know, so they have a new singer-songwriter in the mix, and they're both trying to figure out their status there. So
I'm excited.
There's competition. Yeah. You know, you talk about nuances, and I will say, like, out of the projects that I've gotten to do for the seasons, this one to me has a lot of different layers. And when it comes to the storylines, it's not that there's so many people involved; it's that there is a lot of backstory. Like the director, Bradley Walsh, and I had talked about right before we started. He's like, yes, you have these two men that are, you know, here and exciting and helping you with your career. But ultimately, Shayna's, you know, she's not one to get off track. Her career is still what she's moving forward, and she's going to be the most respectful in that process. So we were really pushing forward more of like, wow, amazing opportunity. And then, you know, love tends to happen, as opposed to she's just lost and has found her way through these men. It's more, she found her way through herself and these men have helped her.
Yeah.
So it's, and then, you know, and then it goes to their relationship and then my relationship with Duke and mine with Grady, and they're so layered that it's, it was kind of tricky to pull off, and I really hope that we did.
That's awesome. I'm really excited for it. It sounds great. So, all right.
Oh, good.
Well, we like to end our interviews with some silly questions. We call them the Teen Beat questions because Amber found them in an old issue of Teen Beat. I don't know if you ever got Teen Beat.
Oh, gosh. I used to take, like, I think Chad Michael Murray, I think, was on my wall at one point from Teen Beat. For sure. I told him that. I'm like, this isn't awkward, but you were on my wall.
All right.
Promise I won't make this awkward.
All right. So first question, what is the best ice cream flavor?
Ooh, vanilla.
Yeah. Oh, it's classic.
I mean, I just, five flavors went through my mind, and vanilla always stands out as my, you know, it's not just a safe choice, it's the rich choice. It's good.
There we go. Good. Okay. What is your favorite color?
Blue.
Great. Okay. What music are you into right now?
Oh, I've just gotten into the High Women.
Oh,
which is like, it's four country women. I mean, they pull together everybody, but it's a group of women in country music coming together and, you know, kind of like the Dixie Chicks, but, kind of empowering the females in the country music world right now. It's Maren Morris is part of it. It's really awesome.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your go-to date night food on your ideal date?
Oh gosh. Oh, on my ideal date, or like what I actually do for date night? Is this like date night in or date night going out? Like, I need more specifics.
Okay. Going out.
Ooh, you know what? I don't know why this just came to mind, but I would go for more like Thai food or something like that, or like a stir fry bowl or something like that. Yeah. I imagine like the ambiance of like a Thai restaurant or something.
That's a good choice. Okay, so what is your go-to?
Not the best if you want to like kiss them afterwards, but if you've been dating the person for a while, I'm going to say Thai food.
Maybe you can take like a mint with you.
Right, yeah. If it's a first date, like that's more like, let's just, you know, I'm going to go for a salmon plate.
Okay, so what is your go-to date night activity?
Oh, I love activities. So like my favorite date night activity is going to like the arcade. I really like arcade games and stuff like that. I'm super like, I like doing things, so the arcade or like bowling or something, super fun.
That sounds fun. Okay, good.
Don't just like bring me to a bar. Like, I don't like to just sit there. Like, we've got to play darts then.
Yeah, Right. So you're party. You're pretty competitive, you said.
Yeah, I am.
That's good. Okay. So
I wish I couldn't admit that so easily, but I am.
Yeah. Same with my family. We're all pretty competitive. So. Yeah. Dogs or cats?
Cats.
Okay, good. We need more cat movies in Hallmark. The dogs.
I think definitely, so. Yeah.
So, all right. Beaches or mountains?
Ooh, that's hard right now. This is a hard one. First thing that came to mind was beaches because I've been spending so much time. Yeah. But I also love the stability of the mountain. So I would say like the coastline. Can I say that? Because yeah. Then you have the beach on one side and the mountain on the other. The PCH is what I'll say.
We'll allow it. We'll allow it. Okay.
Thank you.
Would you rather be in a fancy dress going somewhere fancy or in sweats at home?
Oh, I feel like as I've gotten older, this answer has changed. I'm always like jeans person. I love yoga pants and everything. But the older I get, the more I want to wear something special. Yeah. So I would say now, like I wear more dresses now than I did when I was younger, which I find very weird. I never wore a dress when I was younger. Now I just want to be fancy, but I still like being fancy and doing casual things.
Right. You're the type mm-hmm. that will go through the in and out in the limo.
100%. Because that to me is more fun than like going and sitting at a fancy restaurant. I'm like, let's just get the food we actually want to eat.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, so what is your favorite holiday to celebrate?
Oh, that's a good question. I was going to say Christmas, but all the imagery that came into mind, maybe because we just stopped filming a Harvest movie, mm-hmm. but I would say like fall time things. Like I really love Thanksgiving.
Yeah. This is a hard one and you can pick one of your own, but what is your favorite Hallmark movie?
Oh man. Ooh, I don't want to pick. I really like the ones I've done. I'll say that. I really appreciate the ones I've done. That is I'm going to take away the ones that I've done and just like, you know, they're not on the table because those have like, you know, I'm biased to certain things and personal experience gets in the way. I watched one, you know, you think more about like the enjoyment that you had doing it and each one's too special to like point one out. So there was one that I watched that I actually really liked. It was with, Jill Wagner, I believe. And it was one where she's like, what if I never got married? And she wakes up the next morning and she's not married and she kind of does her life and everything. And I thought that one, like, it's, you know, it's got some of the premise is the same as other things. But that being said, I thought that they pulled it off. What'd you say?
Is that an old one?
Yeah, I think it is older. Like it's definitely not one of like the last couple of years, but that's one that I saw recently actually, because I was like doing some homework and I was really like, I love how they pulled it off. And I thought that she was really awesome in it.
Oh, I know which one it was. I just thought of it. Sorry.
Oh, you just remembered.
Yes. It's A Dream of Christmas with Nikki DeLoach. I'm almost
did amazing.
Yeah, she gets a bump on her head and she wakes up in an alternate reality where she's single. And
yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's like the Family Man premise. And I thought that like, it's not Jill Wagner. I'm still going to give thumbs up to Jill, but what was the actress's name? Because I really enjoyed her.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought she was awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And Andrew Walker was in it. That's it. I knew I'd think of it eventually. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was so much fun to catch up.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So where can people find you on social media and all that fun stuff?
On all, you know what? I believe I still have a Facebook. I have Facebook as Jesse Schramm, Schramm. And then I have my Twitter and my Instagram are both under J Schrammer, which is at JSchrammer. But otherwise, if you just type in Jesse Schramm, Jesse with a Y, you can find me anywhere.
So we will have that in the description section so people can follow you. And if you're listening, let us know what you think about all the things we've talked about. If you're excited for the new movie, or if you have things to say about Road to Christmas, let us know. We'd love to talk about it. And thank you so much, Jesse. This was great.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's always good talking to you.
All right. Well, we'll have to definitely have to, hopefully it won't be a year before we talk again.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Bye. We'd like to thank Jesse for coming on the podcast. She was so much fun to talk with. And yeah, let us know your thoughts. And please make sure you're following the podcast at Home Bookies Pod, all of our social media and iTunes and YouTube. Please give us your ratings and reviews if you're listening on iTunes. And please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel if you are listening on YouTube. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media and on iTunes and YouTube. So make sure to check that out if you have a chance. And please consider becoming our patrons. We love doing these interviews. We have so much fun and we can do even more the more patrons that we get. So we have our Facebook group, we have giveaways. We definitely try to make it worth your while. So thanks so much. And we will talk to you all later. Bye. This podcast was brought to you by Hallmarkies for Hallmarkies. For more information about how you can leave your mark on Hallmarkies, visit HallmarkiesPodcast.com, link in the description.